Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Saints.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, great. Glad to be here. I'd like to open this just by saying the words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the Son of God as being chosen, adopted sons of God at the right hand of the Most High." Incredible promise, incredible blessings we have. I have this within my heart that the way things are going out there on this little planet, I would say that we all should hold fast to the sound words that the Lord has provided for us and be not moved away from the good message that we have been given in the Son of God, the rightly divided word and the dispensation of the mysterion, the truth that's in there, just to be living today in this period of time and knowing such things of our holy and mighty God is astounding, astounding for us, pieces of dust, to know such things. And especially as our world is going out there, away from the knowledge of Christ, moving rapidly that way. It is so. More I see that in this country more than ever too, right? And I think all of us would agree with that. So I think holding fast to the truth that's been presented and given to you freely in the Word is really important for all of us these days, okay? I mean, seriously, I have that within my heart and being. Well, we can blame, if we want to use that word, we can blame this message on Bob.
We'll give
Bob the credit, because over the wire I said to people, I said, hey, what would you guys like to learn about in the Greek? And Bob says, well, I'd like to learn about the word salvation in the Scriptures. And he said, and this one guy years ago did a beautiful job. I'm like, oh, what's Bob doing? Setting me up for something? You know. But at any rate, I looked into the salvation, the word salvation in our English Scriptures in the Greek text, and I came up with three basic words for salvation and what they might mean. And that's what I'm going to go through this afternoon, okay? And it's beautiful. As the Lord is, as His truth is, and as the Word is, there's no more beautiful thing in life than God's truth and His Son. And what He has done and the mechanism of what He has done for us is beautiful, astounding, and pure love. Pure love. There's no purer love than I believe what our God has done for us. Seriously, He loves us by sending Himself in the person of the Son. And if you seriously know that and think about that, it'll take you back. It'll bring you to tears how much God really does love us and how we can know Him in that capacity through His Son. A human being could have came up with the reality of this picture and of this truth. At any rate, there are three Greek words that deal with the subject of salvation in the New Testament. The first one is soter. That's what I have up here, soter. The next one is soteria. Soteria. Oh, let me get that all in. And these all have, that's an alpha at the end there. Soteria, and that's how you pronounce that actually. And in studying and pronouncing the Greek, I learned from a buddy of mine, Eddie the Greek, that you have to be a stickler for how you pronounce the Koine Greek. And you have to be very accurate, because that brings you closer to the very mind of the Holy Spirit. So, hey, it's the McCurrys just walked in. Hey, Ron. Yeah, they ran into, we just started. Okay, and what we just started, we're to the subject of salvation in the New Testament through the Greek. And it's because of Bob we're doing this, so he gets all the credit. But I'll go back for Ron just real quick here. And the first word we looked at for salvation is soter. Soter. And I'll go back to these words, or to these forms, actually. There are no words in the Greek. There are either roots or forms. Why am I so stickler about that? Because the word is English. It's not Greek in the sense of what I'm trying to communicate to you. In the Greek, there are only forms or roots. So when you say the Greek word, it's ultimately and perfectly incorrect. All right. So if you're studying the Koine Greek, study the Koine Greek for what it is, and eventually don't try to mix English in with it. That's very important, because then you learn the Koine for the purity of what it is, rather than comparing it to English, which is a language that God didn't use initially. All right, does that make sense to you? Now you could say, well, that sounds pretty, you know, like you're real nitpicky. But if you want to get to the original language of the New Testament, learn it purely. Okay. The next Greek word that deals with salvation is soteria. Soteria. And I'll eventually explain what this word means, or this form means. See, I make it. Lay off, okay? And, it's a form. And the last Greek form we're going to be looking at is soterion. Soterion. And this is actually, we'll find out, this is actually a person. It's actually a person. Beautiful study, really. Oh, sorry. Soterion. So those are the three basic Greek forms dealing with salvation in the New Testament. And now we're going to start looking at what we always should look at, and that's the Scriptures. Soter. Okay, the Greek word soter, the Greek form soter, is what I call, or what I've come to know, the mind and the means of salvation. Soter, the mind and the means of salvation. Okay? Going back to soteria. Where am I? Here we go. Soteria. Soteria is the benefits of salvation. Soteria. And then, the awesome one. Soterion. I know, this is a little, just deal with this because I have to move through this. Soterion. Soterion is the person that is salvation, and in whom, in no other, is the salvation. Soterion is the person, and this can also be soterios, is the person who is salvation. And we're going to see this as we move through the Scriptures, and that's what we're going to do. You're going to say, well, that sounds real good, Mike. Well, prove it. Well, the proof a lot of times is in the scriptures themselves. All right, so now we're going to move through the English scriptures, and we're going to look at where these Greek forms are located, and what knowledge around these Greek forms is being spoken of. Okay? So we found out that this is the mind and the means of salvation. What do I mean by that? Well, who engineered salvation? Well, you say God did. Okay, well, God who? Okay, I talk about this to Ron. When you read God in the scriptures, what does that mean? Who is it? And you say, well, why is Mike off the wall here? No. God could be the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or all of them. So, salvation was engineered by which one or who? Well, I believe the scriptures teach that the Father is the mind behind salvation. God the Father. And as we said before, that soteria, well, those are the benefits. Soter deals with the mind and the agent also of salvation. So it deals with the mind of the Father being the author of salvation. We'll find this out in the scriptures. And then the Son is the agent through which salvation comes to various human beings. You'll find that salvation through the blood of Christ in the scriptures, He's the agent that brings salvation to Israel. He's the agent. You'll find that through the blood of Christ, He's the agent that brings salvation to the world. And He's the agent through which the Father brought salvation to the church, the fullness of the Son of God. So we have the mind and the means in soter when we study the scriptures. Now let's look. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's turn to 1 John 4. Now we're going to start reading scriptures. Okay, and I've got at least 50 minutes, so I've got at least 50 minutes, so you're going to have to deal with it or stand up and walk out on me. Oh. All right. Yeah, I know that, you know, we were talking about the human factor of how long does it take the human being to get a little restless? Is it 45 minutes? Is it 50? To where you start moving around in your chair. Well, yeah, in this class here, you're going to have to suck it up, and it doesn't matter if Mike talks for a couple hours. You're going to have to take it. 1 John 4, okay? And you know, as we get into the scriptures, you guys, this is the beauty of this study. The beauty of this study is the scriptures themselves. 1 John 4, 9 through 15. In this was manifested the love of God. And I would have to say, as we hear the word God, be specific. Go study at who we're talking about here. When the scriptures mention God, and I don't want this to sound weird, it just kind of hit me in the head, in my mind once. When the scriptures talk about God, is it the triune God? Is it the Godhead? Is it God the Father? Is it God the Son? Is it God the Holy Spirit? We should zone in on that. Does that sound reasonable to you guys? That doesn't sound too off the wall, does it? Okay then. Because it was manifested the love of God towards us because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love,
not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Well, this word soter is Savior in verse 14. Savior of the world, for God sent his only begotten Son. So in this we see that the Father is the mind behind salvation. And the Son is the means through which salvation, let's call it the work. Because the Son was here saying, I'm here only to do the work of the Father, right? The Son of God said, I'm here to do His will. You know, so all those things as you study about the words of what the Lord said when He was here, He was doing the will of the Father, not my will be done, but His, more or less in paraphrase. So the Son was doing the will of the Father, the work of the Father. And I think that works in here too. Here again, if you disagree with what I'm saying, raise your hand and let me know. You know, but this is what I found. This is what I found through the study of salvation as we go on. 1 Timothy talks about the Son being the mediator of salvation. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. Bear with me. I got this. I put my own New Testament in the right order. And then a couple of guys told me it wasn't right, so they owe me money. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. And it states, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. There's the word soter, God our Savior, who will that all, it says, men be saved. Now, and it goes on to say, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. This is very important, especially in this world that we're living in. Especially in this world that we're living in. And I don't know why I'm so hung up on the idea, but I feel a certain pressure in my being about what's happening around us, especially in this country. Because I see this country, as far as being a Christian country, going down the toilet. And I think there's going to be things that are going to shock us from how we grew up. Things are happening that I don't even believe are happening. You know, a Muslim in the White House? I mean, really? You know, that would have been insane when I was growing up. Insane. And so, this verse is very important. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and praise the Lord. He is the Son of God. He is the creator of all things.
Not Allah, not Muhammad, not anybody but the Son of God. And you might have to stand for that one day. Really. You never know. You might have to stand for that one day. And you keep your mind, and I'm telling this to Mikey, you keep your mind on the Scriptures these days. You keep your mind and heart solid with the Lord because you need Him. It's not a joke anymore. Amen. There is only one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, the Creator of all things. You know, I was listening to, we were coming down here, and I was listening to this guy talking about the Gospel of John. His name was Ron McCurry. I'm like, did I hit my head that I'm listening to him? But he was talking about, think about it. Herein is the love of God. He was talking about what the Hubble spacecraft is seeing out there. Absolutely, positively phenomenal. What is out in space. And Ron said, you know, it would take the Almighty God to find the earth in all of that. He's right. And yet that miracle of this earth, which is invisible in all that, the Creator of all that came here. How can we get our minds around that? How can we get our minds around something like that? Seriously. But it's true. Therein is an example of the love of God. I mean, my brain, my nervous system is like chilled right now. Not that, you know, emotion and all that malarkey. But just thinking about these things, these facts, God is love, you bet He is. He created all of these systems and these things and He came here Himself. He came here Himself, the agent, the Lord Jesus Christ, who created all that. Mind-boggling. But we can understand it in part, and He wants us to, no doubt about it. But also, too, He's chosen us to stand in this knowledge, knowing this. So, we are special to Him. We are special to Him. We are. He's preserved me for 30 years. 30 after knowing Him and accepting the mystery, He's kept me. You know, He's kept me. Even over and beyond my own foolishness. And it's not a joke of where our minds can be taken in an instant. In this world, in an instant, if you're not careful. Beliefs, enticing words, all of these things that are constantly around us day by day. The human factor, humanism, watch it. Watch it, because the world is unifying through humanism. Man is God today. Their worship of the creature rather than the Creator. Big, big, big. And I was reading an article by a man named Pink back from the 20s and 30s, and he said it was so savage then, and that was 70, 80 years ago, that the worship, he said, the worship of the creature is getting serious. Man worshiping themselves. They don't even count the Creator anymore. They don't even recognize Him as Creator anymore. So you're chosen to do that. Okay? Let's move on. Okay. Soter. It talks about Christ being the providing the salvation to the nation of Israel. Let's look at Acts 5. Now, I should probably start speeding this up a little bit. Let's look at Acts 5, 29 through 32. He is the agent of salvation. Soter, that's this word. Acts 5, 22 through 29.
I might have to go to 31. Well, let's move ahead. Let's go through 29 through 31. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. So the fact of the matter is that through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the agent of Christ, the Father sent him to be the salvation to Israel. Let's turn to John 3, the famous John 3, 13 through 18. This is the Lord Jesus Christ being chosen as the agent to bring salvation to the world. John 3, 13 through 18. I'll just start moving. And it reads, "And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Soter. "And he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Bringing salvation, the agent bringing salvation to the world. Ephesians 5, 22 through 29 speaks of the Lord being the preserver of the one body, the Savior of us. Ephesians 5, through this word, soter. Ephesians 5, 22 through 29. This goes into our calling. Ephesians 5, 22 through 29. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body," the soter. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church." So he is the Savior and the preserver, and he is the cherisher. He cherishes his church, is found in this word, soter. He is the preserver. And he is the lover of us, soter. And he is the Savior of us. And he is our head and our Creator, the Creator, this one. That's found in this word, soter. Soter, the mind and the means behind salvation. Soteria is the next Greek form. I made a mistake. It's not a word, it's a form. Okay? Forms or roots are what's in the Greek. Soteria. Soteria is the benefit. Are the benefits that accompany
salvation. So in studying salvation, you run across soteria in the scriptures, in the English. But soteria means to rescue from danger. It means deliverance. Safety through salvation. Well, safety from what? What are we delivered from? What are we made safe from? We're going to look into that. And it also deals with what is our possessions. What are our possessions through salvation? So we have the minds and the agent of salvation in soter. We have the benefits in soteria. All right? As you study this, you can look into it yourself. What are the benefits? Well, we're rescued. From what? What are we rescued from? And we have what kind of benefits? What kind of benefits are produced through the saving of us? What kind of benefits do we have? Well, let's look at Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. And then we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 7. Okay, this is where salvation leads you, by the way. I still have a half an hour. You guys still awake? Are you still... What? She's wiggling. Okay, Maria's wiggling here, so that's good. But, Oh, Melissa, I'm sorry. Melissa's wiggling. Okay, pardon me. I came from over there. Am I getting older or what? Got to turn up my miracle here.
We've been delivered.
We've been delivered. Yeah, what are we... Okay, seriously. Seriously, you know, I don't want to get off on too many tangents, but I like to. What are we delivered from? What are we made safe from?
Death, that's
yours
from God.
Right on, death. We're made safe from death, from the wrath of God. All right? Because if you don't have the Son, you're dead already. We just read that. And you're saved from the wrath of God, really. Where is the wrath of God? Well, without the Son, the wrath of God, according to the Scriptures, dwells upon you. Do you feel that? Not yet. But it's coming. It's coming to this planet. The wrath of God is coming through the Son. And so, the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the day of wrath, it's coming. You know, but you have the opportunity in your minuscule years of life. See, I think about this, I have to say this, that I try to understand things. That's the way I'm built. I try to understand everything. And I can't. But I understand, why am I here? Why am I going through this right now? Why am I going through this? Why am I meeting this person? Why do I know this? Why am I led to talk to this Christian? Why, you know, how come I'm Polish? Why am I, why? I think that all the time. And you know, because to me, and especially after the Lord did it, He made the mistake of choosing me, because now I can have answers to why. Okay? And one of the answers to why we're here is like incredible. You think about the creation of all things, then you think about your minuscule number of years that you have, and they're nothing. Life is short. Yeah, it is. Life is short. It is. But out of your minuscule years of time, the Lord chose you to be here in 2010. Incredible. He chose all of us to be here in 2010 and to know the mystery. Phenomenal. He chose you to be in this period of time to see the things that are happening out there and to be chosen as the fullness of His Son. If you sit back and you start reeling that around in your head, and then that'll send chills up your spine too. You start reeling that around in your mind at who you are in the Lord, His Word, history, sending His Son, His callings. Incredible. Incredible stuff. So at least I have some answers, a lot of answers to why. And we are sound people in our minds. The Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear, as I think Timothy says, but of a sound mind. And we know who we are. We know who we are. We know what we've been taken from. We know where we're going. We know who did it. We know who loves us. I mean, you know, even though we suffer, we're in great shape. We're in great shape. Seriously. So we've been rescued from the world of darkness, from death. Correct. I still have 25 minutes. Let's roll. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things. For the things that which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. It takes faith to believe in God as Spirit and the Creator of all things. Amen. For by faith Abel offered Cain unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had the testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. The word soteria, the saving of his house. So by faith Noah saved his house from the death. The flood was the death almost completely of mankind. And by his faith, Noah soteria his family. And therefore, and by that, we are here today. Incredible, absolutely fantastic fact, even if we don't understand it, and even if people don't believe it, it is fact, incredible truth, that through soteria, through faith, Noah saved his family, and we are here today. Soteria. Let's move on. Soteria also has to do with the present possession of true believers. Let's turn to Philippians 1, 21 through 30, and 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 15, and Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. And this has to do with the benefits. Philippians 1, 21 through 30, 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 15. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. And we should probably go back to 2 Corinthians 7. Let's read that too. So we're going to read out of four books. 2 Corinthians 7, 5 through 10. And I know that I'm going back and forth through dispensational boundaries. And, you know, I really didn't make, you know, specific references to that, but salvation is a general truth that spans, of course, through dispensations. We've seen that. 2 Corinthians 7, 5 through 10. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. I'd have to say this, that that every time Paul talks about fears and trembling in himself, especially when he came before believers to preach the word, he was in fear and trembling. That always gets to me, but I sort of understand it. I understand why. Because the glory of God, then the glory goes to God, and it's not of our flesh. For he chose the weak and beggarly things of the world to confound the mighty. And I think that one of the sufferings of Paul was that he was under so much pressure all the time and all the dealings that he had to do. And then he had to deal with all of this blasphemy and all these guys coming at him and all of these problems that at times his flesh, I bet you he felt like a raw nerve and weak, even though he had the power of the Almighty, and certainly he was, one of the greatest apostles chosen by the Almighty of all time. And I think that the Lord used that weakness so that the power would be of God and not anything that was produced by Paul. Nevertheless, God, verse 6, comforted those that were cast down. Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherein he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow works repentance to soteria, to salvation. So, one of the benefits to soteria is that it might bring godly sorrow so that you turn your mind to God. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here. He wrote the Corinthians a letter condemning them because of their carnality. They were one of the most carnal churches he ever had to deal with. And what he said is, he said this, the Holy Spirit actually said, if this sorrow brings you to repentance and to a clear mind and you move towards God, it's great. Just like us. This can happen in a sense just like you and I. Philippians 1, 21 through 30. I've got 20 minutes maybe. Okay? Philippians 1, 21 through 30. We're moving into our calling now. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose I know not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as becomes the good message of Christ, and that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs and stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the good message, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now to hear, and now here to be in me. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of soteria, of salvation. Okay, let's turn to 2 Timothy 2.
So why would you say the benefit there was
What's the benefit? The benefit is carrying on the good message of the mystery, and that the suffering that this might bring. And see, this to me this is all one picture. For if we suffer, we shall reign. Right? So if
there's probably a reigning in view here.
A reigning in view, yeah. And actually, a little off cuff here, but Pete and I were talking about, well, what suffering do we do today? You know, I mean, seriously. And this is something that, here again, my mind says, I try to understand it. I try to understand. You know, and I can just talk for a couple of minutes and we can, you know, I can end at 4. I try to understand it. The Apostle Paul, he was given a ministry, and he was given was he given a mission to fulfill for the Lord? And I'll answer the question and say yes, he was. Now you know, he had to go to these various cities. He had to preach at least 2 or 3 different messages, at least to do 2 different types of people. He delivered at least 2 messages of 2 callings, maybe more. And he had to various cities at various times. The Lord set out this work for him to do. And as he went in the Acts period and beyond, he got killed, he got shipwrecked, he got blasphemed all the way. He had demons in the flesh of men combating him everywhere he went. At the same time, he made money making tents. But for the most part, as he walked, he suffered through these things because he was on, let's say, I'll use the word, a mission. Now, what is our mission? And how do we suffer? And, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm gonna ask this about all of you in your thinking. Because, well, not, I think about it, and that doesn't mean you have to. But, you know, my mind says, well, if I suffer, I shall reign. That's in 2 Timothy. Now, how do I suffer? Am I going to go walk out and say, I believe in the mysterion of Christ, and somebody's going to drop a brick on my head? No. Are some Orthodox Jews going to come at me and stone me to death? Probably not. But how do we suffer? Is it possible, and I was talking to Pete about this, is it possible for any one of us to have all the blessings and all of the crowns that the Apostle Paul had? The answer is yes, because in the parable of the in a couple of parables, the Lord basically says, in paraphrase, he says, it's not a matter of how much you have, it's a matter of what you do with it. The principle of God is not a matter of how much you have. If you have a little and you do 110% with that, you're going to gain as much as me that has half the world. Right? Isn't that a principle of our Almighty God? You know, so my thought is this, that I'll leave you with in this study, is how do we suffer? Do we have a mission? And my mind says, well, I don't have a mission like Paul did. And I'm not set forth to go to Chicago and go to New York City and go to Miami and preach the mystery to them, maybe get stoned on the way. Right? But my mind says, why? Why not? See, this is how I find, why not, and then how do I suffer? And certainly I want to gain all the prizes I can. I'd be a fool if I didn't. But how do I suffer? How do we suffer? How, you know, I'm going to leave that to you. Maybe you can help me, you know. Today. We live in what I find to be a large gray area. Everything's subtle. We don't battle men. We battle principalities and powers, don't we? Amen. We battle spiritual wickedness. It's all subtle. You know? It is. Right? Either that or I'm all messed up. I'm all messed up here. Yeah, your mother. hey, don't get me going. That might be too. Yeah, but seriously, I think day after day after day studying the scriptures, you know, how do I suffer? I told Pete, living I suffer, just being here. But But we do suffer. We suffer in many ways. You might stand for your calling and suffer some words of some fundamentalist quote. You might suffer, which Ronnie might do, from an attack of a Jehovah's Witness. You might suffer the pressures of evil spirit powers in certain ways. If we battle them, certainly they know who we are. I mean, this is going out, but the Word says that. The Word says that we are against spiritual principalities and powers. And I think that one of the benefits for us is that we can bring glory to God. We can bring glory to God through our suffering at this time standing for this truth. There can be no doubt about that. So, let's move on. I just have a few minutes. I hope that answered your question a little bit, Bob. I'm sure I can elaborate on that more. But this is the truth. This is the truth of everything in our calling. It's all a whole. It's all a whole. All things, joints and bands, all things add to the whole. Certainly. Just as, you know, there's one, people say, well, everybody belongs to the mystery because there's one baptism, one hope, one Father. No, that's not true, because that's Ephesians 4 is written in the context of the mystery. The mystery has one baptism, one hope, one calling. Okay? All of these things fit together. All of these things fit together. And so as you study the Scriptures and study your calling, things all fit together. They do.
You know, I just had a thought.
Yeah.
This thing about, I asked a question about the benefit.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the word suffering, but if you think about it, the ability for us to be able to suffer is actually a benefit that we have now in order to reign.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, it really doesn't matter.
1 Peter 2:20.
Did you have some? Go ahead, Artis.
Yeah, I think too that one of the biggest things that we so-called suffer is isolation.
Yeah.
Isolation because we trust in this truth of God and we adhere to this truth of God.
I agree, and certainly, you know, certainly I can see in my life. I was tailor-made to know this. I was tailor-made in the fact that this takes to put off the flesh a lot in this world. What are our enemies? The world, the flesh, the devil. And you know, this calling takes walking in the Spirit big time. And so if you're wrapped up in the world, in the flesh, especially now as the human being, it's incredible. Especially now as the human being is becoming the God of the world. God is gone. We are God. That's what the world is. We are God. You know, and it's like, oh man, am I seeing this? Am I witnessing this? We are witnessing it. We are. So it takes the Holy Spirit of God to help us understand what we're actually witnessing. And certainly as the end times go, it's going to get worse. Well, we're seeing it. Men shall be lovers of themselves, boastful, proud, all of those things.
And as time goes, we will suffer more if we stand for what we know.
Right. And see, as these guys alluded to, you only have a short period of time. I know our lives seem kind of like they're grinding on and all of this problem and everything, but we have a short period of time. And then, bango, we're out of here. You know, if you look at things. I'm 54 now. Let's see, I was 21, 31, 41, 54. What? You know, and then I'm gone. Oof, how many guys that I know aren't here anymore that I study with? Gone! So you just have a short period of time to stand for the Lord. And that's why you're supposed to be wise and not as fools, buying out the time. That all fits with this. And then I'm going to end with this. Soterion. Oh, and you know, there's a lot more expansion on this. You know, but you're going to find the English word salvation and savior with these Greek forms. Soterion, the person. And this, you know, this, that's a new at the end there. Soterion is a person, is the person of salvation. Salvation comes by no other. So soterion is the person that is salvation. The one by which salvation, deliverance, is mediated. He who embodies this salvation and through whom the Almighty achieves its reality. Two awesome verses to this. Where is soterion found? Acts 28 and Ephesians 6. This one really, if nothing else, this one made me go, yeah! Acts 28. Soterion. The person who is salvation. It's found there, yep. Didn't make it up. Look it up. You know, I look it up, check me out. Well, here it is, yeah. Soterion. Almost done. Verse 23. Acts 28. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, all day long. And I'll say this, don't hold too lightly when it talks about the Lord being spoken of out of the prophets and out of the law. Very important. They had no excuse because he was the very fulfillment of the law and the prophets. They had no excuse. And that's what was so stunning about the one that came. The law and the prophets. Whenever that's mentioned, that's big. Big news. Big stuff. And some believe the things that were spoken and some believe not. And when they had agreed not amongst themselves, he departed after that. Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their ears and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the soterion of God, the person of salvation, is sent unto the Gentiles and they will hear him. Amen. It's there. And by the way, your eyes can see and your ears can hear the truth today. And that certainly should make you cheer. Your eyes can see and your ears can hear the message of the mysterion truth, the fullness of the body of Christ. You have the heart and the eyes and the ears and the gifts that those are in you are priceless in any dispensation. Ephesians 6, and I'll end. Interesting. Ephesians 6. Soterion, the person who is salvation. Verse 12 to verse 18, and I'll close with this. This is in our calling. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We could go into that a little, but we won't. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Interesting. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I mean, really, this is something we should take note and concentrate on every day. Because it's not a joke anymore. Never was. It's not a joke anymore. Things that we walk in this life, our calling, this truth is very important. Always was, and even more so today. The pressures that are going to come down on you are going to be more as far as spiritually wicked religiosity than ever before. You know, really. But you have the strength of the Almighty to stand in it, no doubt about it. But I'm just saying, I just know that as time goes on, especially through our young ones, it's going to all come at us from all different directions. Young kids, grandkids, they're going to be being raised up under systems and stuff like that. They're going to be learning things that might not be the greatest. Stuff like that, too. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and to have the done all to stand. This is the evil day. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the good message of peace. The reason I say that is there's many Gospels. There's many good messages. There's just not one gospel. What a ignorant lie that is. Oh, do you know the gospel? Well, which one? Amen. Oh, do you know the gospel of Christ? Which one? Amen. Amen. Above all, taking on the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery javelins, these aren't little darts, all of the flaming javelins, the Greek, I can translate that equally with that. These aren't fiery darts, they're flaming javelins that are coming at you. They're not little things that are going bing, 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 bing. They're going to be flaming, big spears coming at you. That ye may be able to quench all the flaming javelins of the wicked, and take the helmet of the one who is salvation. So carry on. What does the helmet protect? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What does the helmet protect? The helmet protects the head, which keeps the brain, which is the center of thought. Take on you the helmet of the one who is salvation. Soteria. That's it.
Thank you, sir.
All right.